good to be in the house of the Lord, and certainly have had a great weekend of being in the house of the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Was able to on Friday and last night and this morning and tonight, and it's good to be able to come together and worship and shake hands and hug necks and have fellowship, and let's keep on doing it. There's something Brother James said about that watchmaker is the best judge of the watch. It's kind of thoughts with what I had, that the creator of this universe is the best judge of this universe. The creator of this body is the best judge of this body. And the Bible proves it. And we ask that you'd pray for us as we look at some things that's been on our mind for weeks, and we share them with you. And the first one's found, this very familiar scripture in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, where the Lord Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Now, the best judge is the Creator, because He knows every cell in our body. He knows every cell in the universe. And there's nothing out of order in His order that He doesn't know about. But He says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." And He gives us His conditions on this that He's talking about. And He's given these things under His authorization to His disciples here in this Sermon on the Mount. And he goes from one to another to another. You know, in the beginning of it, he said He went up in the mount, and when He was set, then I don't know if He sat down or not, but when He was set, He was fixed. He was set like concrete. He was unmovable, and He had these folks' attention. And He says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." Has anybody ever come to you after you might have said something to them, and they says, "Well, you can't judge me. You don't know me. Only God knows me." And in a certain way, that's true. But let's see the context of this scripture. Because we all judge whether we want to or not. And if you don't, just wait till the next time you go to the mall at Christmas and you're sitting there watching everybody go by you. I think that's part of our depravity that we have, that we even need to learn about that. But He goes on, He says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And He says, "Why behold thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye," which is, that's a splinter. Why you behold that little bitty splinter that's in your brother's eye, but considers not the beam in your own eye? And then He goes on to tell these apostles, these disciples, these ones that are going to go out and teach others. He goes out to tell them, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine old eye,' and behold, the beam is in your own eye?" How can we see to help our brother with a little bitty splinter when we're blinded already? Because we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is not telling us not to judge. Well, you said, well, y'all stay with me, okay? But we need to get the beam out of our own eye before we can help our brother get the splinter out of his eye. And then, you know, the Lord Jesus, he knows how, here's the Maker telling us here, he says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you." You know what he just told us? He's not talking about the four-legged dogs and the four-legged hogs. He's using that as a metaphor that we're not to cast our valuables in the values of our life. And I'm not talking about value of material things. The value of our life before these dogs, and he's telling, how are you going to know who's a dog unless you're doing some kind of judgment? How are you going to know that these valuable things that you have, that you're just not going to cast out that? And I mean, the Lord can get to it, and it's hard to say, but you know, people back in that day didn't have pets like we do. There was something that he's talking about here that was very unbecoming, especially to a Jew and swine. Oh, it was terrible about the Jews and the swine. They wouldn't have any part with that. But he says, don't cast your valuables before them. And we had a man here in Georgia in the year 1963 that stood in Washington, D.C. and said, "I have a dream." And y'all know who I'm talking about, Martin Luther King Jr. And he says, "I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." He didn't say, "Don't judge my children. Don't judge them by their skin." And that goes right along with what the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all of us, is telling us, that there's some things that we need to be judging, and we're going to see here. And he's telling them to don't cast your pearls and your valuable before the dogs and the swine of this earth. Now that's pretty harsh. I don't know if I've ever called anybody a dog or a swine. But he's telling us here, because he's saying, don't judge hypocritically, but according to content. And we can even see that in John 7:24, Jesus says, judge not according to appearance. That same thing that Martin Luther King said. Don't judge according to appearance. But this is the inspired Word of God by the Son of God, by God manifest in the flesh. He said, don't judge by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And let's turn over there and see what the righteous judgment that he's talking about. In John chapter 7, that's found in verse 24. Turn to the right chapter. Because he goes on, he says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Now we could go back to the very first thing. He wasn't going to go into jury, but he was being in secret. He was hiding because they were ready to kill him right here. I mean, and it was the time of the Feast of the Tabernacle, the Feast of the Booths, when everybody gathered together once a year, and they brought all this together, and he was hiding. But then he goes right on into this feast, and he starts talking to them, and he starts telling them, and he appears unto them, and we see that this is what he's saying. But we look down here in verse number, let's see which verse I want to go to. Let's start in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught. Every time I read that, he then cried Jesus. I don't know if I understand that language. I think it means he was sincere in what he was trying to say. And when he was saying this, he cried in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." So we see that these things in verse 27, y'all pray for me. "Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." And he cried, and he taught these things. You know me. And he says, I'm not about myself, but I'm about the one that sent me. And the same thing that he said in John chapter number 6 when he says, "Verily, verily," and let's just turn over one page where he told them over there, where he says in chapter number 6 and beginning in verse number 38, he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will of him that sent me, that I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." See, he wasn't there to make something of himself, but he was there to teach these lessons and to show these things as he went from one place to another. And how that, you know, if we, and all of us that's had children and now we're getting grandchildren, and we've got real close friends. And if you see a train wreck coming in their life, are you going to warn them of the train wreck? And sometimes they'll look at you and say, "Well, you just don't know me. You just don't judge me." And then sometimes we just have to say, "Well, I've already went through this. I know what it's like." And sometimes these things are hard, because don't you think when Jesus was there and these Pharisees brought this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, and they all come and threw this woman down, and I just can imagine when I picture that scene that all these folks is coming with boulders in their hands, because they're ready to stone this woman. And then they look at Jesus and they say, "What do you say? We caught this woman in the very act. And the law of Moses says she needs to be executed." And then he just stoops down and he starts writing in the sand. And then he starts asking questions. You know, the maker, he stands up, and what does he say? "You that are not guilty, y'all cast the first stone." And he stoops down and he writes in the sand again. And then they said, the Bible says they all go out one by one. And I can just picture that. I can hear rocks dropping. Boom, 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 boom. And then when he, I love that way the scripture, and he raises himself up. And it was just him and that woman. And what does he tell her? "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." And sometimes it takes some other people telling me and telling each other, we need to go and sin no more. But you can't do that when you got the beam in your own eye. In all these places through the Bible, we see these things. Jesus was telling this woman to forsake this promiscuity lifestyle that she was living. Don't do it no more. We need to warn folks. You know, the Apostle Paul warned the churches in the book of Acts. In Acts 20 and 29 says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves come in." He's not talking about the wolf pack. Here's a metaphor again. He's talking about those evil men. And you've got to know who the evil men are. And one thing I learned from real old timers that and you know, we'd have our reunion and all those old timers that was in World War II over in Germany, and especially in Germany. It wasn't hard to tell the enemy in Japan. There was a very distinct difference, but sometimes in Germany it was hard to tell who the enemy were. And they would train these infantrymen to know the enemy. And at a moment's notice, they had to judge who the enemy was in order to attack. And he's telling us here, after Paul says, after I leave, there's wolves going to come in into this church, and they're not going to spare this flock. And also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He's not telling us not to judge. We need to know who the wolves are. We go on to some more places where in chapter 7, verse number 15, the Lord says, "Beware of false prophets. If me or Brother Marty or Brother Dan or Brother Ray, Brother Raymond, Brother James gets in this pulpit and we speak falsely, somebody needs to judge us." And really, every time a preacher gets into a pulpit, you know, we've got the authority to say what we need to, but we need to do it right. But he says, "Beware of false prophets." How are you going to know who false prophets are unless you know what God's word is? And you know, because we have scripture says these false prophets, they're just raging wolves, but they'll come in sheep's clothing. They'll disguise themselves to be something that they are not. And even the devil and all his demons with him will disguise themselves as preachers of righteousness. He told his apostles, he says, "I'm going to send you out forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." See, telling folks who the wolves are is not bigotry and hatefulness. It's wisdom. And we got to keep the beam out of our own eye before we can do these things. It's hard. But we've got all that we need here to do this. Paul told the church at Colossae, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." How are you going to know what the philosophy and vain deceit is unless we judge what the philosophy and vain deceit is? And then he says how to do it: after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. How are we supposed to judge? Everything that we judge is after Christ. That's how we judge, after Christ. But we said this morning, where the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." So when we warn somebody that there's wolves out there, you need to stay away from the wolves. They're disguising themselves, and they're looking like the sheep. Don't take revenge on them. Just let the Lord handle that part. Let's let him take care of that. I mean, we just see on Paul told the young preacher Timothy to shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You're going to hear vain, you're going to hear profane and vain babblings as a preacher. Don't do it. Because they will increase to ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. It will take hold like gangrene, and it will destroy a whole body. Of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. And he said, Timothy, don't let that happen in the church. These two brethren that was in this church had turned the faith over and had eaten as a gangrene canker and was destroying this church. The Apostle Paul, we see through the Bible, we said, flee youthful lust. Flee adultery. Flee fornication. And when you tell people that today, they're going to say, well, you don't have no right to tell me that. See, that's where it's hard, especially in family and friends and co-workers, and we see things like that. We have the authority. And we need to speak the truth in love, but we got to be careful with that, because it may be the truth, and we might speak the truth, but if we're not bringing it in the right attitude, we'll be that hypocrite that the Lord said, don't be. And he just goes on through these things, and you know, and it was, he said, our military is always judging by standards they set forth in their manuals. And all of you that's been in the military, you're under the judgment of your commanders. You've been trained, you go out here, and you're under judgment. And Paul told, and I'll close with this verse in Titus 1 and 9, hold fast the faithful word as it has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And it takes judgment to do that. It takes wisdom of God to do that. It takes the love of God. We just sung about that love of God. And there's no doubt that that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, God loved, Jesus loved her. But don't be doing this lifestyle anymore. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped. See, things is hard. But we can't do it when we've got the beam in our own eye. And I think, I believe in Paul's one-on-one teaching, I believe he quoted Jesus in with these young preachers. Whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. We need to have the wisdom of the Lord to stand in judgment. And it's hard. And we need that help more and more, that we can help one another. And y'all pray that we can do better at it. I can do better at it. And we can, all as churches, love one another, but warn when warning needs to be done, and correct when correction needs to be done. And if you, brethren, see me and see me needing correcting, I need it. And let's help one another. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.